mountain, and your power be upon me in a special way, Father. We thank you right now. Open our hearts to receive revelation, Father, from your word. We thank you so much, Father, and we pray this prayer in the only saving name given among men. Church, say Jesus' name. All right, we're going to read one scripture while you are standing. While you're standing, we're going to read one quick scripture, then you can be seated. That scripture, I'm sorry, Sister Dunn, I forgot to give them to you again. It'll be Psalms 11 and 3. Psalms chapter 11, verse 3. Thank you, Sister. I actually talked about this before. I hope I can get to something different this morning. Time permits, in Jesus' name. Okay, let's read it together. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Again, if the foundations be destroyed. Very good. All right, clap your hands really loud and really hard for about 13 seconds before you're seated. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you so much. My wife is going to come help me teach here for a few minutes. She has something to add to the lesson. There, you got your notes? Just come up whenever you want to, okay? Giving honor to her, obviously keep the ministry in prayer. We'll talk more about it during prayer time. Sister Cal had to go out of town on some family of things. So we'll pray about that during prayer time. But keep them in prayer. Obviously, you know that Pastor Cal and Sister Cal are absent. Brother Sapp is absent also out of town. Brother Luma is also absent. So keep those in prayer during the course of the service. If you don't see them, they are out of town. But the Spirit is here, and Brother Davala is here. Did I say it right? I knew I was going to mess it up. He just taught me how to say his name. And Brother Cal is here. So we got some mighty men. Brother Luke is here. So we got some mighty men here today. We're going to carry on. Amen? Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. So as we read earlier, David is saying here in the book of Psalms, 11 chapter, 3rd verse, he said that if the foundations be destroyed, he said, what can the righteous do? What can they do? What can be done if the foundation in which we stand on is destroyed? I was watching this documentary. And this documentary, it was some old castle in England like 2,000 years ago, talking about King John or whatever the case may be. And I thought it was kind of interesting because this castle, the way it was set, it was made for warfare. It controlled a large region or a very large territory. And so the enemy were trying to penetrate the castle. And I think it was about 30 men or maybe, I don't know, 20 or 30 men that were able to withstand, I think, a couple of thousand men. And it was simply because of the how strategically they built this castle. It was made, and you had to come up a certain direction in order to penetrate it. So they was able to defend this land for a certain period of time. Anyway, after constantly going against this castle, I believe this is a true story. I'm pretty sure it is. After trying to go against this castle for so many months or weeks, whatever it was, history says that they had to dig underneath the castle. What they ended up doing was digging underneath the castle, Brother Cowell, and they sent these hogs. Interesting enough, after they dig underneath the castle, they went underneath the foundation of it, and they got hogs, some wild hogs, and they put them underneath the foundation of it, and they set it on fire. I didn't know that pork burned exceedingly hot, more than any other meat, according to this study they did, or this documentary they did. Anyway, and so what happened was they compromised the integrity of the foundation. And therefore, because the foundation was compromised, it caused the whole building to collapse after a couple of hours of working. Now remember, they were trying everything they could to penetrate this castle that had been built by stones and stuff, but they could not penetrate it, and no other way but to go underneath the building and to attack the foundation on which the building stands. I looked at that and I thought that was very interesting, because if you attack the foundation of an edifice, or if you attack the foundation of a building, or whatever the erection may be, if you attack it, you can attack the very top of it, and you won't necessarily penetrate the building. You can attack, you know, middle ways or whatever the case may be, and that won't necessarily, you know, penetrate the building. But if you remove the foundation from a building, that building will immediately collapse. A building can stand without the shingles and without the felt and without the 3/4-inch board and without the trusses. A building can still stand. But if you, again, if you penetrate, if you compromise on the integrity of the foundation of the building, that building cannot stand any longer. Matter of fact, I would even go as far as saying that the building is only as strong as the foundation is. You can have a really big, nice-looking building. We can stand at awe of how big the windows are, and look at how they hung the door, or look at how beautiful the mailbox are. Look at the different, you know, details of the building. But if in fact the foundation was not built laid properly, that building would not stand. That building will shake. The Bible speaks about building a house being built on sand or maybe on water. And the Bible says that that house will quickly fall. Why? Because the foundation determines the strength and also the longevity of a building. Yes, it's the foundation that determines how long a building will stand, how long, how much wear and tear that building can take, how, you know, especially in South Florida, they speak about the winds and how they always changing of saying now the winds, a foundation has to be able to stand, I think it's 100 miles per hour. I forgot what a category 3 or 4 is, but up to 100 to 150 miles per hour wind. Because why? Because of the, if the foundation cannot take that kind of wear and tear, then the whole building will collapse. Amen. So the Bible is saying, David said in the book of Psalms that if the foundation be destroyed, where would we do? What would the righteous do if the foundation, if the very core of who we are is compromised, if the integrity is compromised, if we neglect some proper footing or maybe the cornerstone, or I say, Brother Kyle, if we put a little bit more water or rocks, then we can save money on the foundation. Or maybe if we not dig the hole so deep, we can save money on the foundation. Or maybe instead of using concrete, we can maybe use some mud or some, whatever the case may be. If we neglect the strength and the integrity of the foundation, the building will in fact not be able to stand. And you understand, it would look like any other building. You cannot necessarily look at a building, you know, from the outside and determine how strong the foundation is. You can get two buildings and set them side by side and say, man, that has a good foundation. It, not initially, but time and wear and tear would determine how strong a foundation of a building is. Amen. So we should take heed on our foundation. We should take heed and adhere to building a solid foundation. And that in the case that when the winds come, when 100 miles per hour winds come, the building may shift. But how many know if you got a strong foundation, if the roots are going deeply into the ground, even if the building gives a little bit, it will still be in existence even after the rain and the storms come. Amen. The lowest load-bearing part of a building, typically below ground level. Definition of foundation. It is the lowest load-bearing part of a building, typically below ground level. Obviously, it's not visual. I mean, you can't visually see it. It's not visible, but it's the part that bears the load. Some synonyms for foundation is footing, or foot, or base, or substructure, or infrastructure, or underpinning. Another definition I thought was good was a body or ground on which other parts rest or overlaid. It's the part that everything else rests on. The foundation is the thing that keeps the windows from falling off the house. The foundation is ultimately what the doors hang on and what the ceiling fan hang on. All these things are contingent upon the foundation. You can take away the fan, but the integrity would not be compromised. You can take the door off, but the foundation would not be compromised. You can remove all of the furniture, but the foundation would not be compromised. Why? Because the foundation determines the strength of everything else. It determines the strength of the entire building. This is why David put so much emphasis on if the foundation is destroyed, what can the righteous do? Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. 1 Corinthians 3 and 10. He says, according to the grace given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But, listen, but let every man take heed how he builds thereupon. Let every man take heed. Listen, he said, now I've laid the foundation according to the grace, according to the knowledge, according to the revelation God has given me, Paul is saying. He said, I have made the foundation. I've laid the foundation. But now, he said, let the next man, let the next brother in Christ, the next sister in Christ take heed on how he build on top of of the foundation that had already been established. Listen. Verse 11 says like this, next verse. He says, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid. No other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is. So no matter how new something sound, no matter how intriguing something sound, no matter how much they say there's new revelation and God is progressive, and this is the, I always forget, 21st or 22nd century? 22nd century? 21st century. It just always get confused because it's 2015. It seems like it'd be, I don't know, for some reason. I always get that mixed up. But no matter how modern the world gets, how much technology advances and how much modernity try to permeate the church in our doctrinal position, Paul said no man can lay any other foundation than that which is laid, and that foundation will and has always been who? Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible says that we have a now more sure word prophecy. We have a sure word of prophecy. The prophecy was given. The foundation was laid. He gave us 31,270 verses to tell us this is the foundation. Now let's establish, let's build on top of the foundation that has already been laid. Why do we think that God has changed his mind about foundational things that he established? The Bible says before the world began. It has always been a certain way and things will not change. Salvation would not change. He laid the foundation, and Paul said, I'm telling you how to do it. I have laid it down. God has given it to me as a wise master builder. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. The wheel has already been invented. Just kind of go with it. Ephesians 2 and 20 says it like this. Ephesians 2 and 20 says, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, there I go again, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grow into a holy temple into the Lord. So he's saying that even the foundation that the apostles and the prophets laid, he said Jesus Christ, even though they laid it, he said that the mix in which they used, if I can say it this way, was Jesus Christ. He was literally the cement that was being poured out of the truck. I don't know if anybody is familiar or not with the way a foundation is laid. It's this big cement truck come, and they just pour a certain amount of concrete into a form. You form it first with some two-bys, whatever the case may be. And after you form it, you pour the concrete. The cornerstone, I haven't did this in a while. I don't know if they still do this or not. Patrick, you can correct me later. But it used to be when I was doing this kind of work, each corner would be poured into the ground 24 inches, 24 to 36 inches, because the corner of the building carries the most weight. So each corner was deeper than the primary foundation. So you have four corners, or however many corners you have. But even after you establish the foundation, then you come to your corner and you dig the corner in 24 to 36 inches because it is the most load-bearing part of the foundation. And you have to pour that even deeper. So Jesus is saying that he's not only the cement, he's not only the material that the house stands on. He said, but I'm also the cornerstone. I can establish how much weight this building can carry. I can establish, and I will also give you a guarantee that this building will never fail. I will also give you a guarantee that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Why? Because I am the foundation. He said, I will guarantee you the church will not pass away. He said, before a jot or a tittle of my word come back void, the heaven and earth will pass away. That is the same guarantee that he gives upon the church. He said, I have established this church as a wise master builder. I have established the church as the foundation. So therefore, it's not at risk of fading away. I listen to all the stats, and they say the church is, you know, losing its authority. The church is losing its place in the culture. The church is losing its voice in the culture. And it's actually the reverse. I think the church is thriving. I think that we are gaining ground. I think the Lord, we are experiencing revival. I think people are coming to God all over the world. People, you read the stats, especially in the nations where they are so severely oppressed and where persecution and tribulation are at an all-time high. But yet, in them same countries and regions of the world, you will also hear about how souls are being poured into the kingdom, how people are just surrendering to God by large numbers. Why? Because God says that I am the foundation in which this building stands on. So if you lose a door or lose a window, he said, I'm the foundation. And as long as the foundation is secure, the building will never go nowhere. The building will never fade away. The building will not be blown away by a hurricane or by some new doctrine or by some new religious movement or because somebody think the church has lost authority or power. Jesus said, I guarantee as long as it rests upon me, this church will never go away, never go away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:19. He says, nevertheless, Paul is talking to Timothy here. He says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. Having what? This seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Nevertheless, the foundation of the Lord stands it sure. It stands without doubt and without question. He said it's standing without any speculation. You don't have to, you know, listen, it stands 100% of the time. It stands. It has made it through all kinds of persecution. I was studying about how they tried to, I was reading about how the early church, they tried to diminish the word of God. And they said no other book has tried to be destroyed over the history of time. No other book has caused nations to be at such disagreements. No other book has affected history as much as the word of God, as the authorized word of God. Why? Because the foundation of it is sure. It is sure. And it would not be defeated. It would not be put on the side burner. It would not. You told any other book in this world, you can tote it anywhere and read it anywhere. You won't get no questions. You won't get no attention. Get your Bible and just open it up at your job and put it on your desk. It would be some kind of, that offends me. Why are you reading that here? You know, you can take any other book in the world and it won't cause no disturbance. You take, you know, the Quran. You take any other book you want. You take the National Geographic book, people just think you're studious. I never forget when I was in school in the courtyard, and I was reading the Bible, actually. It wasn't a big deal. I just didn't get a chance to read that morning, and for whatever reason, so I was reading on my lunch time while I was in school. And it's just about 5 years ago, I believe, 2010. And I just opened my Bible up and started reading in the courtyard. And I'll never forget the effect it had on people. I wasn't reading loud. I wasn't, you know, thus saith the Lord, repent, you heathens and sinners. You know, no. It wasn't that. I was just kind of reading to myself. You know, it wasn't on my phone. It was just an actual book. You know, the paper form, not the electronic. But I was just reading it. And Brother Spirit, I remember, remember people looking at me, walking by, just kind of, man, what is he doing? Wow. So odd. I mean, I'm not kidding, brother. People was actually stopping. So I had a guy come up to me. He said, man, you're really serious about this thing. I didn't get what he was saying. I said, oh, why you say that? He said, you actually reading your Bible out here? It just hit me on how he thought that I was a serious Christian because I had my Bible open, reading it to myself on my lunch break in the courtyard. It was, you know, it's permissible there. It wasn't, against the rules or nothing. But it was just, it just got me on how people was so attentive to just Bible reading. Paul said we should give heed to the public reading of scriptures. You know, that's actually something in the Bible that is commanded, that we should give heed to these things sometime. So, and this is the word of God. That's how sure the foundation is. Try it, please. Will you try that, people that are working? Just go on your job this week. Please, do me this one favor. Go on your job this weekend. If it's permissible, if it's allowable, if it's not against your policy, if you won't get rolled up or get fired for doing it, you know. But if it's permissible at your job, on your lunch break or in the morning time, just open your Bible. Take your Bible. Don't take your phone, you know, because you can do anything, you know. But take your Bible. It ain't got to be a big one. Just let it be known it's a Bible, you know. And just kind of read it. And watch how much. You're talking about you want to get a conversation started. You want to be a witness. You want to just take your Bible and read it. People will come up to you. Man, what are you doing with that? What you reading there? You know, why are you reading that? Why? Because the foundation of it runs so deep. It has an effect on people when they see you reading it. Amen? So it says, amen. That's the power of the word of God. It says, do not be, so we established the foundation, and I don't know if I'm going to get to the second part of this or not, but so the foundation is sure. It can't be moved. It can't be diminished. We understand that we can't compromise on the integrity of the foundation. We can't move from it. We can't get away from it. We can only build on top of it. And the Bible said that we should take heed on how we build on top of the foundation. Amen? Because Jesus Christ is the foundation, and he used the apostles to pour the foundation. Okay, so what is foundational? You know, there are a couple of scriptures I can give you that's foundational that I say that is uncompromised, and we all understand and agree that in order to have salvation, we must be born again. He told Nicodemus that. He repeats that over and over in the book of Acts, at least four different times. We read and understand that people were baptized in Jesus' name. We know that. We agree on that. At least we should. We agree that a person should have the Spirit of God, you know, over and over again. We read that, how people were filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, quench not the Spirit of God, by which that you are sealed unto the day of redemption. You know, he that hath not the Spirit of God is what? None of his. For as many as received him, to them he gave the what? Right to become the what? Sons of God. Amen. The Bible says that after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall receive power. We understand this power is the dunamis power that comes through having the what? Spirit of God. We understand that we can't move outside of the Spirit of God. For as many that are led by what? The Spirit of God. These are the what? Sons of God. So just that's foundational. We agree that these things are foundational. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, then we encourage it here. We tell you, let's pray till you get it. We will pray with you. We'll come to your house. We'll do whatever it takes because we feel like that's foundational. We feel like these things cannot be shaken. These things cannot be moved. We can't compromise on the integrity of the foundation. If we do, then the building is going to shift. It's going to blow over if we compromise on that. There's also another foundational teaching I found to be interesting in the scripture. And this is not a UPC doctrine or a standard. This is what the Bible teaches. This is not an organizational thing. This is not a fellowship thing. This is what the Bible teaches. This is things that we cannot compromise on. There's another one, and it speaks about separation. Amen. He gives us this scripture in Corinthians, and I didn't write down where it's coming from. Sudan, I believe it's somewhere second the first or second Corinthians in the seventh chapter. It says, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now, it's kind of interesting because we have to determine in the New Testament, and just stay with me now, don't let me bore you too much, but there are things that are reiterated as a rule of thumb. And I think I seen Nick just walk in, brother. Professor just walking out, I thought it was just something in the back. But there's a rule of thumb that you use when it comes to doctrine. Can we just talk for a few minutes as a class? When it comes to doctrine and positions in the Bible, how do you determine what's to be kept over under the new covenant? How do you determine, and this is actually a question I'm asking, Brother Patrick, help me. How do you determine, right, if something was said under the old covenant, right? How do you know, Brother Faircloth, if we are to still keep it under the new covenant? Anybody know? This is an open question. How do you know whether we're supposed to keep it? Because, you know, they did a lot of things under the old covenant, right? A lot of things were done under the old covenant that we cannot necessarily practice, Missionary Hansen. We can't necessarily practice under the new covenant. Certain things were done away with, and some things were brought over. So do anybody have a suggestion or an idea what's to be done, or how do we know we're supposed to do certain things as a rule of thumb? Any suggestions? Any, Brother Patrick? For example, he says. He said we don't bring goats one time and give blood. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's the old covenant. Okay, so how do I know that I'm not supposed to do that under the New Testament? He gave the example, church, of sacrificial offerings that was given under the old covenant. And we had to do that to get forgiveness of sin. He's saying that we don't do that no more under the new covenant. Why? Jesus came, Sister Monica said. Jesus is our lamb. Amen? Good questions. But what is the rule of thumb? How do you use that? Because we know Jesus is our lamb, right? As a rule of thumb, I think everybody's answer was right, except Brother Faircloth, because he didn't answer. Basically, how we know that things are not implemented under the new covenant is that it's not reiterated. Things that are carried over, you read them. The Bible says that what was written in former times was written for our what? Instruction or for our learning. So we are to look at these things and say that was written for my learning or my to be instructional wise, because we don't have many wives today, right? Right? We don't have many wives today. We discussed it at our men's meeting Friday night. We had a great time, men. We discussed about things that are carried over, right? You know, we don't have many wives. We only have one. Why? Because Paul said let every man have his own wife, right? So we don't have many wives anymore. We don't believe in, we don't support, I shouldn't say that because that's may cause some questions, but a lot of things that we don't do now is because they're not reiterated. Christ didn't teach them again. That's why you have the way the Bible is broken down to sections, and we understand that the Old Testament is what they teach us is called preparation, right? Preparation is from the book of Genesis all the way over to the book of Matthew, Mark, to John. God was preparing the world for himself to come in the bodily form, amen? And then you have the Gospels. The Gospels is what they call manifestation. You got preparation, then you have manifestation. What God was preparing the world for is now is manifested in the body of Jesus Christ. Okay, you stand with me, everybody. No one asleep, right? Everybody still woke? Okay, preparation, Old Testament, Gospels is manifestation, and then you have Acts. It's called propagation, right? Because now what the world was prepared for, what was manifested, is now being propagated through the whole world. It's being spread. Amen? Now you have the epistles, which is called what? Explanation. Explanation. Preparation, Old Testament, Gospels, manifestation, Acts, propagation. The letters is what they call explanation. Now it's being explained to you in details, right? And now what's being explained to you is the teachings and the foundational things that we are to adhere to. And then you have, of course, revelation. It's called consummation. Consummation. That's the bringing in of everything. Everything is brought into, you know, the end, if you want to call it that. That's the consummation of all things, right? So if it is not explained in the letters. I'm sorry, if it's not explained in the letters, if it's not reiterated in the letters as a rule of thumb, we probably don't have to keep it. Probably being in quotation marks. Probably. We can look at it and learn from it. It can be instructional to us, but we don't necessarily have to be line upon line, precept upon precept. That's why Jesus reiterated a lot of stuff. He said it completely. He said in Matthew, I did not come to destroy the law or to abolish the law. He said, I come to do what? Fulfill. Other words, to make it full, because it was incomplete. You understand that? The law was incomplete without grace and without Jesus. Boy, I hope I'm not boring y'all too much. But the law was incomplete. It was not completed. It was like drinking Kool-Aid without sugar, or tea without sugar, or coffee without sugar, or whatever you're drinking, you add sugar to. It's like that. It was never meant to be salvation. It was only meant to be a mirror to show them their need for God, their lack of holiness. That's why he said that it was only a schoolmaster. One version says a tutor to lead us to Christ. I remember when the Lord first gave me the revelation of the law, and I was wrestling with what Paul said about the law. I'm talking about foundations here. I'm not off from a lesson at all. And I was trying to understand what Paul said. If before I had known the law, I wasn't a sinner. But after I had known the law, I became a sinner. And I'm wrestling with these things for, I don't know, for weeks, just wrestling. I'm like, Lord, what in the world is this guy saying? The law made him a sinner? How can the law make you a sinner? And I'll never forget, I was actually getting dressed for church. And while I'm getting dressed for church, Brother Dooley, I was looking in the mirror, right? And I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm fixing something. I forgot what it was. And while I'm fixing this, Brother Dooley, it came to me instantly. I said, whoa, this is good. The mirror was showing me what was wrong with myself, right? But it wasn't correcting it. It was only showing me what needed to be corrected. So immediately the Lord spoke to me and said, this is what the law did for them. It never corrected the problem. It only showed them the issue that they had. It was only a mirror to say fixture or whatever need to be fixed. But the mirror doesn't fix the problem at all. That's what the law did. It showed them. So the law was the Old Testament. But Jesus said, let me complete the law by giving you grace. Let me complete the law by giving you something in you that can actually give you the wherewithal or the strength to keep it. Whew. Thank you, Brother Hanson. I needed that, man. Pull me out of this already. I knew I should have talked about this morning. So now we have the things that we have to learn how to keep. So I hope I help somebody by saying that. So we don't stone our children no more when they are disobedient. We wouldn't have no children, right? They'll all be dead probably, right? We don't stone a person when they're caught in adultery, right? We don't do those things because it was not reiterated. Jesus didn't do it. We don't have to do these things. But there are things that are reiterated in the New Testament, like separation. In the verse that we just read, Paul quoted an Old Testament teaching. He was quoting right out of the prophet when he said, be ye separate, says the Lord. He said, come from, matter of fact, he's quoting that verbatim. He's quoting that, and I didn't get the scripture, I should have, but he said that he's quoting it right out of the Old Testament prophet, right out of the prophet's mouth. He said, as the Lord told you before, and now I am reiterating to you. That's why he said, I didn't come to give you a new law. I didn't come to give you no new doctrine. I just come to reiterate or reemphasize that which you was already taught, which is foundational, church. Things that are foundational cannot be negotiated. The foundation cannot be compromised. We can't take away from it, because he said that if we take away from it, he said he shall take away our right to the what? Eternal life, or the tree of life. He said, and if you add to it, I will add to you all the plagues that's written in this book. So we have to determine that this is foundational. No matter how, who's not doing it, who's talking it, who's teaching it, who's preaching it, who's singing it, it don't make a difference, because as long as we are standing upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, this church would not cease to exist. Whether we have to meet on a corner somewhere, whether we have a building of our own, whether we stay in this auditorium for 50 more years, as long as we are standing upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ, it being the chief cornerstone, this church will not, it won't diminish, it won't fade away. No matter how many hurricanes or storms may come, as long as we are standing upon the sure foundation, we have a ground to stand on. We have a foot to stand on. We have a substructure that will not be shifted. That's why you see works in churches. They're here today, then 5 years later, they're no more around. You know, they're here and they're gone, and they're here. You see them and you hear them, and they come as some, you know, overnight sensation, but then they're not around as far as longevity-wise. Why? Because the foundation of it. Whenever the foundation of something is not strong, it compromises the existence of it. The foundation must be solid. It must be built up, you know, properly. I was reading this story in China on how this big building turned over. When this major building project turned over, it was seen that the engineer or whoever it was, the architect or whoever built it, he neglected to use the proper materials. And as a direct result of that, the building just kind of boom, just tilted over. It didn't last. It couldn't stand the wind. And church, let me tell you, if in case you don't know, there are winds coming. There are winds out now. I hear all kind of things being debated on the radio and stuff. And you know, can we do this and be Christians? Can I marry him or her and be a Christian? Can I do this and that, still go to heaven? Can I? Things that were never really talked about before, because in before time, there was accepted. It's just being this is what Christians do. This is what Christians are. This is what we, you know, this is the places we go. But now, because these, you know, times, and we're getting modern, and you know, we're getting smarter, and all these things are happening, we think that, well, maybe God has changed his mind. Maybe he has changed his mind about where I can go and who I can be with and what I can do and where I can live and what I can listen to and how I can look. Maybe God just don't think the same way he used to think. Absolutely not. The foundation of the Lord stands sure. It stands without a question. There is no doubt about it. It is the same today, yesterday, and forever. As long as the word stand, God will not change his mind. And so can we. We can't say what God is not saying. We can't make it sound sweet. We can't, you know, sugar it up a little bit. Well, you know, well, maybe you ain't got it, you know. No. We have to say what the Bible say, church. We have to say it in love. We have to say it gentle. We have to say it in meekness. You know, we can't be arrogant and chauvinistic with it. But we have to say what the Bible. I was at work the other day. And I never, ever, ever get in these kind of discussions with people because they're so offensive. But they kept pulling on me and just poking on me and pulling on me and poking on me until they asked me straight. They said, so what you're saying basically, Paul, so you're saying that everyone that is not baptized in Jesus' name is going. I said, no, I'm not telling you that at all. I said, I'm telling you what the Bible say. You know, I'm not telling you. I don't have a heaven or a hell or any way else to pitch you. I can't pit myself there. You know, I don't know how I could pitch you there. I'm just telling you what the Bible says and what God has declared to be truth. And I know it to be the truth. And it won't change for us. He didn't change it for them. He's not going to change it for us. And he's not going to change it for families and people to come in the future. It will always be it. Everyone has to walk the same path. Everyone has to obey the same Bible. Everyone has to do the same thing in order to get where God wants us to be. There cannot be any compromise. There cannot be any, well, you know, he's so sweet. You know, and, you know, she's 100 years old. You know, does she have to? And, you know, what if you die before you? And what if I'm on my deathbed? And I just say this. And I've heard so many arguments. And I know you have also. If you talk to people, to witness to people, everybody want to make an exception. You know, is it? What if, you know, he's in the airplane. And right when he jumps out the airplane and he say, Lord, forgive me for all my sins. You know, well, what happens to that person? You know, what happened to the man that, no, I have no idea. I can just tell you what the Bible says, and I can promise you that God does not give exceptions. He does not grade on the curve. What's good for the kettle, they say it's good for the pot, something like that. Something like that. It is the same, and everyone has to walk it. Everyone has to talk it, and we have to tell people the truth, guys, and it gets hard sometimes. You know, it gets hard to speak what the Bible says sometimes, especially when they put you on the spot and ask you questions like, so everybody that didn't do it, did they go to hell, or did they go to heaven, or whatever the case may be. And I try to get away from them discussions, actually. It's very rare they corner me like that, but they corner me. And it's just, okay, this is what the Bible says. You know, he's not going to change his mind about it. These are foundations. and they and he would not, and for no one, change the foundations. Do we have any questions about this? I know we don't ever do this in the primary adult class. Is there any questions about what I'm saying to be the Bible? Do we have any comments? I've never did that before, but I was kind of thinking it this morning of getting people. When I'm teaching, I want to start asking that because sometimes you hear something and you forget about it later, but sometimes when it's on your mind fresh, I don't know, you kind of ask it then. So I guess I'm getting like Brother Hansen now, stopping early. That's all I have, Brother Hansen. Can I exercise one of your deals this morning? Thank you. Please stand to your feet, guys. I pray something was said that can help somebody. You're more than welcome to my notes if you want them. We can talk later about how wrong you are and how right I am, if you want to do that. I'm just kidding. Let's pray at this time. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we stand on the foundation in which you have poured, which you are the cornerstone. You're the chief cornerstone. We stand and we rest upon you, Lord. Help us to not shrink back, to compromise the integrity, Lord. Let us stand sure and give us strength to stand, Father. We cannot stand without you. We need you and we desire you. Father, thank you for blessing this service. Thank you for pouring out your anointing. Thank you for those that will be healed, delivered, and set free. Thank you for those that received the Holy Ghost today. Thank you for the power that's going to go forth as the man of God preaches. Thank you, Father, because we know that you have already done it. So we thank you right now. And we pray this prayer in the name of Jesus. I can't say amen because we're not out of church, but we will pause if you want to take a bathroom break or, I guess, refresh yourself or come to the altar and pray for a few minutes before service starts. You're welcome. Service will be starting in about 10 minutes.